Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin here on WLQI. The Sports Showcase here at SP19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrath, Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP19 American Kitchen. Now it's time for the Sports Showcase with Bernie Goin on WLQI.
And this is the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant in the Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy and cold DeMont, Indiana. Bernie Goin here along with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Boys basketball squad, Coach Chad Pulver. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Nice to be here.
Good to see that you're able to make it in as a early day to had a bit of a conflict, but we were able to work that out, so it's good that you're in now.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll talk this week, kind of a bit of a long week for you guys coming off last week at Hebron, and then had to make a nice trip all the way out to LaVille. Came up short both games by exactly 8 points in each game. How are you guys doing after those? I mean, tough losses there. And luckily, I mean, again, you're able to make the tournament no matter what, but I'm sure those stung a little bit.
Absolutely.
Especially probably the game Thursday.
Both of those teams are good teams, strong teams. They know how to win, and so going on the road against a team like that is it's a good challenge for us. The issue that we had is that we started both of those games very slow. In the Hebron game, we only scored 3 points in the first quarter, and that's very uncharacteristic of us. And so we ended up spotting them 15 points by the end of the first half, and that was really difficult for us to fight back in. We did a good job closing the gap and getting ourselves right to that cusp, but couldn't get over the hump, but we had to expend too much energy to get there. And we had similar situation on Thursday a couple days ago when we went over to LaVille. We only scored 7 in the first, but unfortunately gave up 23. And so even in the first quarter, we spotted them a really large lead. And then we're able to quarter by quarter claw back in and get ourselves back into a good position. The problem was is that it just takes so much energy to get us there that that surge, and rather than going ahead, we're trying to surge to come even. And I think that ultimately was the storyline that killed us both of those games. And so we spent yesterday, I mean, we had one day to recover and try to figure some things out. We spent a lot of time talking about strategy of how to make sure that we're hitting the floor ready to play on the first possession, on the first tip, and be able to put the ball where we needed to be, not only taking care of the ball with passing, but defensively shutting people down and making sure we're closing off what's important for us. And hopefully we get a chance to do that today and switching up what we do in our warm-up, switching up what we do to start the game, making sure we're communicating differently. And I think if we can do that, we have a real good shot of being able to gain some momentum as we go into these last 6 regular season games.
Yeah, you kind of stole that right from me. I was going to ask you, since now we're down, including today, when you'll play Delphi in a few hours, literally, do you feel like you guys have kind of now gotten through that, as I call it, kind of in the boys' season, the dog days of the season, post-holiday, pre-kind of groundhog day? Because, you know, they don't really see the end of the season yet. The weather stinks out there, although January's pretty nice, but now we're kind of seeing some issues with the weather out there. And you just kind of, sometimes you start feeling like you're going through the motions a little bit, like you said, try to change some things up. But do you feel like you guys have gotten through that now? And, like, after today, there's only 5 games left in the season, and some pretty big ones out there, your conference crossover, a final conference game, and then a sectional opponent. I mean, so do you feel like you guys have gotten through that part now?
Well, I hope so. I think for us, like a lot of teams, we had some injuries, especially over the end of December all the way through January. So we went a good 4 or 5 weeks without having our full squad together. And so we're actually just trying to relearn how to get our rotations back and to make sure that guys are ready to play. We had even just last week someone missed due to illness, and so we've had a lot of games where we haven't had all of our legs and all of us playing at the same time together, and so we are trying to figure out how it is that we're going to get these pieces to fall together and then have a rhythm to it. It's one thing to say we're all on the same floor together, but it's another thing to have a rhythm and know where everyone's supposed to be and how we're supposed to get there, play to the tendencies that work for us and move away from the things that are detrimental to us. And I think that we're in a good spot, having just a couple road games coming back at home. I think that what we were able to accomplish yesterday get us ready for today. It's an early game, which is unusual for boys basketball, at least for us in our system. So we have to, I hope they've rolled out of bed by now and they're starting to get themselves ready to go. And if we can do that and show up and make some noise, that gives us some momentum going into next week, because we're going to need it. We're going on the road against Benton Central, which is a strong team this year. They usually play very tough. They're usually long, athletic. They have a really interesting defense this year, with being right up in people and making it very difficult for people to move. And then we come back against a Frontier team who can put up a lot of points on some nights. They play pretty good defense. They scramble a little bit. And honestly, we lost to them after having a pretty strong lead last year. And so we have some work to do through these last few games to make sure that we are going in the right direction and giving us some confidence going into that tournament, where we know it's going to be at Winamac, who we close the season out. And so there's a lot that we have to accomplish in these last couple weeks to make sure that we walk into that early part of March with a little bit of a confidence and knowledge about what we need to do.
Well, you guys, again, have I believe it's the Oracles, right? The Delphi Oracles.
That's correct.
So you have them second time this year. So I'm glad, I'm sure you're glad your guys are back home. You know, haven't been home since the end of December or the end of January. And now you'll, after three straight road games, get to be at home. Team you've played already this year in the second end of their tournament. What are the challenges of playing a team a second time around out there, especially after a victory, because you don't want the guys being too overconfident out there?
I think part of what happens, especially the second time around, is that our players can start to believe that what happened the first time is a script that's supposed to be followed. And the important thing for us is that we have got to use our system to put ourselves in a place where we need to be defensively and offensively. And so to believe that a certain person is going to miss shots, or another person is supposed to make shots, or they're always going to move the same way, that puts us in a deficit if we believe that that script is going to be followed. What we have to do, I think, is start the game and be able to be in the moment. I know it sounds kind of new agey to look at it that way, but the idea is that if we can take what's given to us and be able to be assertive with the options that are available, it forces the other team to have to adjust. If we wait and try to give that other team a rhythm, then I think we're in trouble. I think that the way that the Oracles have won their games is that they have guys that catch fire. They have some very good shooters, and so if we allow them to have room to breathe, then that's going to be problems for us. And in the first game, we did a nice job closing out. We put them in tough spots. They weren't in a rhythm when they were shooting, and I think that that was because of our effort. And I think the trap for us is to forget it was our effort that put us in that position and think it was just the way it was supposed to go. And so I think if we have good effort, I think if we are concentrated and focused on what we're trying to do, I believe we can take control of the game and then run it from beginning to end, which is what we want to do. We want to put one of those games together where we take control early and then we hold that control throughout the game and make it our pace, make it our style. And I think if we can do that, that gives us some good momentum finishing the weekend.
Well, I'm sure you're happy about this, the weather holding off today and helping, of course, that it's a Saturday afternoon game. So you'll be able to get this one in, because you guys have had too many postponements this season. I mean, that just becomes a bear to try to make all that stuff up, especially now down the stretch this season, trying to fit different games in. So I'm sure you're glad that this game will get played.
Absolutely.
At the designated time.
I think one of the biggest fears that I have with when it comes to scheduling is that any hiccup right now would mean we probably lose that game. Everyone's schedule and everyone's season is so tight right now with availability and times and what gyms could be available. And so for us, if we have any type of postponement, it probably turns into a cancellation. And I think that's one of the worst things that could happen for us as a unit right now, because we need to be able to play. We need to be able to go against other teams. I think we need that experience and that ability to go and play against guys that we don't see every day, and to have that moment in time where you're trying to figure out what's going to happen, rather than the familiarity of, okay, if I just press this issue right now, my teammate will, and then you fill in the blank. For us, it's really nice to be able to play against another team and put us in a situation where we have to grow in the moment.
And this is a sports showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy DeMont, Indiana. Bernie Gohan here with the head coach of the Rensselaer Central Bombers, Coach championship all over again. I mean, especially we've talked about this, the weather, especially coming up. You got a conference game and then that conference crossover, and obviously everybody wants to get those in, and to have to try to make those up, especially when you guys are hosting, you're going to have a team coming from pretty far out that have to come in, and then that'll be your senior night too, and that would just mess with a lot of things. So we hope that Mother Nature lays off for at least some game nights, correct?
Right, or that if it's going to do something, just do it after the game when everyone's
exactly.
home, and so do it at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's not going to affect anybody.
Well, I think we all wish we can control the weather like that. Well, how are you guys doing on the illness-wise? You guys finally healthy? I mean, I know we've been talking about this, seems like, for 2 months now, but are you guys finally getting healthy out there in Rensselaer? Has this a whole gotten rid of that bug that was going around?
I think so. I think from what I understand with the attendance back in school, I know that there's still some bugs that are happening, but to us, it seems like the major shift that happened where we had to close down school for a couple of days, I think that kind of ran its course. The kids that were feeling it were able to recover, get back into school. And so I think that we're over that as a community, and hopefully we'll get through this next few weeks to get us into spring. And so the flu will be finished and gone for the year, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. Don't want any more of that nonsense out there. So do you guys feel like now, I mean, with the closer losses, I mean, obviously you don't want to lose, but do you feel like you guys are just about ready to kind of kick it in to the next year again? You know, a 2A opponent coming up in Delphi, who you could see Benton Central want to take care of them, a conference opponent, but matchup with Frontier. You don't know. You could see a sectional opponent in the conference, and then, I mean, to close out with a good Lowell team, and then another, for sure, sectional opponent, Winnemac. You think you guys are closing out, or you're about to round that corner?
I hope so. I think part of what we're really working on right now is making sure that we are prepared to start the game. I mean, that was part of what we tried to address at the end of this week, was how can we put ourselves in a better position to start the games? And we don't have time against these teams that know how to play basketball and have a good system and know how to win. We don't have time to warm up in the game. We have to be warmed up prior to the game, so that way we're ready to play on the first possession. And I think if we can do that, then we have a good chance all the way through. I think that our sectional will be a fun sectional. I think there's some really fun teams to play against there. I think the sectional is pretty wide open. There doesn't seem to be one team that has stepped out and decimated opponents all the way through. And so all of us are having our ups and downs right now for different reasons. And we are certainly in the mix when it comes to those up and downs. But I think that if we can hit our stride, that we can be dangerous. And that's really what I want for the guys, is to feel that ability to control a game and have the confidence that they can take over a game and not hope the other team falls apart, but rather that we force them to fall apart. And that's a different mentality that we're trying to establish right now. And so these last couple weeks are very important for us to reinforce the fact that we're doing some things that are really, really strength focused. We're doing some things that will help them deal with situations that happen during the game. One of the best things that I like looking back over when we watch film, or when I go over some of the stats and the data, is to see that there are certain times where we make adjustments, and to watch the guys actually focus on those adjustments and make the adjustments during the game. And I think when that happens, it shows the growth pattern of what our guys are doing. And that's the fun part, to be on the part of that sideline and see what's going on. These guys have worked extremely hard in a system that is relatively complex. We have a lot of different things that we do, and we try to make it as simple as possible. But the reality is that we hold them to a pretty high standard. We expect a lot out of them, and they've really stepped up. And what I'd like to see is that stepping up hits at the right time, and they start to feel even more comfortable and start to have that confidence for what the work they put in is actually going to pay off.
Well, obviously, nobody wants to see the other side lose, but with the girls' season, unfortunately, coming in this week, has your guys' practice schedule changed? John, I'm sure it's a little bit weird that now you don't have to worry about sharing a gym from here on out going forward.
Well, we don't have to go in the morning any longer, and so while the girls and the boys share the gym during the season, we would take 1 to 2 mornings a week where we were, that's what our job was or what we did, and so that no longer has to happen, and so we don't have to wake them up. I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure the gym is open for our practices start at 5:30 a.m. And so, you know, that's kind of nice. It gives us a little bit more sleep in the morning. It gets us on a pretty regular schedule that every day after school at 3:30, 5:30 we're going to be practicing. And so that gives us a routine that is a little nice to go into this type of the season to, all the way through the tournament.
And final one, how excited do you think the crowd will be tonight? It's been a while since they've had a basketball game over at Rensselaer. They're almost about 3 weeks, I believe, girls or boys. And like I said, it's been a couple weeks for you guys, so I'm sure Joe Berthen should be fired up tonight.
I sure hope so. I hope that the crowd comes out, enjoys the game, enjoys an early Saturday afternoon, being able to be with us and enjoy what we do, getting up and down the floor and watch some good basketball. So I'd like to invite everybody out and get into the warm gym. We tend to have it pretty toasty in there, so enjoy. You don't need to bring your hot cocoa with you. We'll probably have it warm enough for you to enjoy the game.
Well, Coach, best of luck tonight against Delphi, and good luck next week as you will close out conference season against Benton Central and hopefully get a couple of W's in there.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
You too. And that was Coach Chad Fulver of the Rensselaer Central Boys Basketball Squad. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
If you're a sports fan or just proud of your school, Reinforcements Design has the spirit wear that says, I'm a fan. Stocking hats, t-shirts, baseball caps, hoodies, sweatshirts, and scarves, too. Reinforcements Design is your Bomber sportswear headquarter like no other. Plus, Reen has something for all the local schools. See Reinforcements Design today on 114 just west of the Jasper County Fairgrounds, Rensselaer.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
We are back on the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in beautiful but snowy DeMond, Indiana. Bernie going here now with the head coach of the Kinky Valley Boys Basketball Squad, Coach Bill Shepherd. Coach, how are you this morning?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Real fast, we had a bit of a surprise. Your brother's in town today, so I'm sure you're happy about that. In Orlando, Florida, don't get to see him too much, especially during the basketball season / school year.
Oh, yeah. The only time I really get to see him for sure is if he comes up for a Notre Dame game on a weekend. Or I do go down there during the summer almost every year when that's when you're not supposed to go down there.
Yeah.
It's like 110 down there.
Yeah.
It was a nice surprise. Me and him were just texting that afternoon about watching our game online, and little did I know he was texting me from just miles away, so it was nice to see him.
Has he been able to, has he adjusted to this weather yet out here? I mean, big difference out there. I mean, it's been a little bit cooler northern Florida, middle Florida than normal, but still, it's way nicer than it is here.
Oh, yeah. Down there, I think it's like 40 degrees. They have like 2 hour delays for cold and stuff like that. So, he's not 100% Floridian yet, so he's still used to it somewhat.
Well, coming off now two straight victories this week against the Portage Indians and the Holbrook Brickies, 17 and 10 points last couple of games. So, got to be feeling better about your team. You mentioned a big comeback in the latest game, correct?
Yeah, against Holbrook, it was really weird. We played one of our most dull halves, and we were down 19 at halftime, and then played one of our most exciting halves, and we won by 10. So we outscored them by 29 in the second half. It was just a situation where we were off school Thursday due to the snow and ice on the roads. That just creates a situation where you're just out of your routine. Holbrook was in school. So you can tell they had a little more of their routine going, and Thursday night game when you're out of school, the crowd's not too great either, so had to create some of your own energy with being thrown off on the routine. So, I mean, not really an excuse, just, but just, you know, we just didn't answer the bell like we had to, but we definitely came out in the second half and did that, so it was really good. And you know, if you look at our schedule, I told the kids the other night that you know, we're just two possessions away from being 5-1 in our last six, because two of our losses were by 3 points. We had 3-pointers to tie in each of those, so you know, we're doing a lot better now that we got out of that gauntlet, and you know, we got a tough one today, but we're definitely looking forward to the stretch run and going into the sectionals playing some good basketball.
Well, you may have got a tough tornado to fourth slicers. What are some of the challenges? You have them a few hours from now as well at 1:30. What are the challenges you're going to be facing out there against? As you mentioned, pretty good ball club.
Well, they're a big, strong, physical team, and honestly, you know, I don't have a bunch of bodybuilders on. I mean, we got strong kids, but they're all thinner type kids and stuff like that. So if we face a strong physical built team like LaPorte, and Hoover was the same way, I mean, we're going to need to be the aggressors and attack off the dribble a little bit. And you know, we quite honestly, we need the referees to call a basketball game, like, you know, like the rules say to call it, with, you know, with hand checks and bodies and bumps and stuff like that being fouls. And if, you know, if we don't get those types of whistles, then that makes it difficult for us against a physical team. And, you know, so we gotta be in the first half against Hoover. Like, you know, the other night we were the aggressor. In the second half, we started going downhill at the dribble. And that kind of helps you get calls that way if you're the aggressor. So we got to make sure that we have that today, because the Port is a strong physical team that can shoot it too. We're going to have to make sure we get out on plenty of their guys. So they got about three guys that can really fill it up.
And this is a sports showcase from the SB 19 restaurant and Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy DeMont, Indiana. I'm Bernie Golden here along with the head coach of the Kankakee Valley Boys Basketball Squad, Coach Bill Shepherd, right here on WOKI977.com. I mentioned it's the coach, Jeff Palmer from Rensselaer, and we've kind of talked about this off the air. Now, you guys, including today yourselves, only have 5 games left. So after this game today, mid-afternoon, you only have 4 games left in the season. I'm sure you feel like your guys, and you mentioned this too, because they went to the sectional and kind of started to see the atmosphere and stuff. You feel like they've turned a corner and sort of the dog days of the boys' season.
Yeah, I think so. What else is kind of different with this group is through various things of, you know, at the start of the year, we had some suspensions and injuries, and then, you know, during the year, we had a couple kids walk away and stuff. We've kind of, this team went through kind of a metamorphosis about 4 or 5 times, you know. So, you know, I think we're just finally starting to find things that we're comfortable with doing too, and that fit us pretty well. And, you know, what we thought was going to fit us early in the year, obviously we have a different group, and, you know, now They didn't fit quite as well as we thought they did, and so I think also we're doing stuff that the kids are pretty comfortable with now too, that and they're starting to gain more confidence, they're starting to see the results too. So yeah, I think all that just lends to a renewed energy, and they can also see their sectionals now. That they went to the girls sectional last night, they can see their sectionals just down the road, and I think that that focuses them a little bit more.
And there's 2 weeks now until the boys will know where they're going, so I'm sure, like, one, and certainly when you get that, now you know it's, oh my goodness, it's here, and you're ready to go. I mean, long season after you guys started early November, and now finally getting towards the stretch run here, and it's good to see. I'm sure you're enjoying it, that they're starting to play better. Would you say that it's more they've gotten through kind of those doldrums? Is there anything in particular out there where is it better energy? Is it just the metamorphosis, the chemistry? What would you attribute to your team playing better basketball? As you mentioned, these 5-1 you could be in these last 6 games.
I think the chemistry is getting a little bit better. You know, I think we finally, you know, when you change the group in the locker room a few times like we have, you know, it takes some adjustments. So I think the chemistry is, you know, getting better each and every day now. I also think, you know, that they sense that, you know, they've always kept believing that even though we were playing really tough teams, that they were it was good for them, and they could learn from it. And, you know, they just had to get a couple wins under their belt to really recognize that. So, you know, I think that helps out as well. So, you know, just and another thing I think that I've done a way better job of this year than I used to ever do as a coach is, like, I mean, we, except for like maybe a Monday when we don't play until a Friday, we're practicing like an hour and a half and getting them out. You know, and it's a long enough season. Let's save some legs a little bit. And I think that's helped our energy on game nights a lot, to be quite honest about it.
Yeah, I remember, just going back to Miami, I remember when we especially get to this time of year, or even more so in the dog days of the season, where you, like, when there was a week we had, like, only three Saturday games, and, like, well, there was one day where there was no gym space, and just how it goes during that time of year. Both girls and boys, junior high was going, girls were going, and then the freshmen had, like, a game, so there was no, you know, gym space for us. And we're kind of like, why don't you just give us a day off? We're thinking, instead of, no, we're going to come in and watch film. And just, like, they give a day off or so there. And never did they shorten practices, the coaching staff. And I heard, like, Velpo, a big school, yeah, Velpo had a lot of success following when a punter left. And they started, by the time, I think, the end of January came, kids only going an hour and a half. I mean, except maybe before the day before a game, just more as a walkthrough. So I'm like, if a school like that who had success can only go an hour and a half towards the dog days and the end of the year, why can't other schools do it? I think that's a very forward thinking. You know, gone are days where you need to be out there 2.5 hours. I think the last half hour, nobody's learning anything, probably.
No, and like I said, that's something this year I've done way better in the past in my coaching career. When it's always a fine line to me between we have so much still to learn, I think, and only so much time to learn it, and it's just, you know, you got to gauge what's more important. Is having maybe a little more fresh legs on game night more important than learning this offense a little bit better or whatnot? And, you know, I guess I've just fallen on the side of having more fresh legs on game night nowadays this year, and I'm starting to see more energy. And you know, we don't go very deep on our bench anyway. So, I mean, that's a, you know, with that said, too, we have to have some fresh legs on game night. So, I've already told the kids, and like, you know, unless it's like a Monday where we don't play until a Friday or Saturday, I mean, we'll still go a couple hours to work on our skills and fundamentals or whatever. But after that, every day of the week, it should be like an hour and a half. We'll get done. We gotta get done. We'll get them out.
Well, following the LaPorte game, yeah, you guys only with one game next week. A very good team though, the Hebron Hawks, and then you'll be playing two straight sectional opponents Tuesday and a Saturday, Wheeler and Hanover Central. Both home games, though, which will be nice. So get to kind of get a gauge there. And you said sectional opponents. I mean, those next to five rivals and conference opponents, those are the biggies, because you're going to have to beat those teams in all likelihood down the stretch.
Yeah. Obviously, when we go to Hebron a week from yesterday, and that's always a tough place to play. The gym is just different. I mean, if you're not used to it, it's just a different type of atmosphere. It's just a different type of backdrop and stuff to play in. So we always have a difficult time scoring there. Hopefully we're a little bit better this year with that. And then, like you said, two sectional opponents at home. We've already beat Knox, who was a sectional opponent. Now we got Wheeler and the Hanover coming up. Hanover, I'm sure, is a favorite in our sectional. They won it last year. They're really good ball club this year. So you know, Coach Klaus is, I mean, he's a good friend of mine, big Irish football season ticket holder too, so we talk about that all the time. But you know, he does a great job with them up there. But you know, I think, you know, it's going to give our kids a chance to either gain a lot of confidence going into sectional, or at least see what we need to do to beat who we got to beat. You know, I'm hoping we can win both those games, because then we'll go into conference with a lot of confidence. But even if we have a slip up here, as long as we have a feeling that we know what it's going to take, then the belief should still be there.
Well, at least in this case, like I've talked about with different coaches and stuff, and kind of go back and forth, but you'll have a sense of who they are when you have to play them again, and it won't be kind of a surprise. And maybe you'll pick up something in that game that you'll see something that maybe you won't maybe use in that game, but this will work next time. So, I mean, I would say there's certainly advantages to seeing your future opponent out there.
Well, definitely, you know, and it also gives you a chance to see what won't work. And sometimes that's more important, you know, so because then you're not wasting valuable sectional minutes on stuff that's not going to work for you. So, you know, we'll definitely have our eyes wide open that week and see what we can do against those teams, and definitely come out with a plan before the game, and then probably a little bit of a just plan after each of those games. So,
well, Coach, today you guys have a big day. KV, you have your game. You guys probably finished 3-4 o'clock. And people hitting that road quickly down 10 to go all the way to Knox. Of course, you won't, because you'll be your brother. But I'm sure that you guys would love nothing more than see the girls bring home a sectional. Because again, people like to see success at the school overall. And how would you like to assess their chances tonight? Because you did see the sectional last night.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah, I know that the girls' team went over to Knox earlier this year and lost by about 5, and it was a really close game. I think you're going with a lot of confidence. I mean, you know, during the regular season, when you go to the team's place, you know, and you only lose by a possession or two, you know, those are games obviously that can go either way. So, you know, they come over, you know, go over to Knox tonight, and I'm sure Coach Nelson's going to tell them the same thing, cut down on, I didn't see the first game, but cut down on a couple of turnovers and maybe that they had over there. Maybe I'm sure there's a couple of free throws of money that they missed that they would like to have back, and you know, just to shore a couple of things up. And you know, I think they got a great shot, and obviously from the boys program and all my coaching staff and myself, we like to wish Coach Nelson and the girls the best of luck tonight over there. Bringing home another sectional, that would be three in a row for them if they can bring that home. So that would be an outstanding accomplishment, and they, you know, we'll definitely be cheering them on, and I know my guys looking forward to heading on over there again tonight. They're really having a good time.
Well, Coach, any final thoughts before we wrap this up? We got a big one here, so we kind of get you out of here a little bit earlier. That way you can get ready for the Slicers.
Oh, yeah. It's another Doolin school. Those Doolin Conference teams, they're pretty good. Yeah, and the port's just over 500, which just shows you how good the schedule they play is. So, you know, it's going to be a good challenge for us today. And you know, we're going to get another opportunity to see how much we've improved against good competition. And I'm just hoping that we showed the last couple of weeks. So that's where our improvement's been the most.
Well, Coach, best of luck tonight. Good luck, of course, to the TV girls squad out there. And also enjoy some family time after the game with your brother from Orlando. And tell him stay warm. It'll eventually warm up here about June.
Yeah, so. Exactly, yeah.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that was Coach Bill Shepherd of the Kinky Valley Boys Basketball Squad. More to come on the Sports Showcase on WOKI977.com.
When you want a mechanic with experience you can trust, call CR Repair and Towing in Brook. From brakes to oil changes to transmission and engine work, they do it all. Whether it's auto, truck, or a mower you need repaired, call the experienced staff at CR Repair and Towing. CR Repair and Towing offers new and used tires for heavy duty, agriculture, and lawn and garden, and accepts all major credit cards. For emergency service and towing, call 219-275-6100. CR Repair and Towing in Brook. Experience you can trust.
February is KitchenAid month at Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances. Want consistent performance combined with quality you can see and feel? KitchenAid has you covered. Designed by professionals, KitchenAid appliances deliver extraordinary power, strength, and capacity to take on the biggest tasks. See Marty and the boys at Fozzie Califf TV and Appliances in DeMott and Rensselaer for your new KitchenAid appliances.
RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Drivers haul locally and are home every night. Benefits are available after a probationary period. Please call Tiffany at RMT Transport in Morocco for more information. 219-285-2307. RMT Transport in Morocco is now hiring for Class A CDL drivers. Please call Tiffany 219-285-2307.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
We are back on the Sports Showcase from the SP 19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy DeMott, Indiana. Bernie going here on WLQI977.com. And believe it or not, with the snow out here, and it just seems like this kind of always happens this time of year. And we've been truthful. I mean, while the fall sucked, we've had a pretty nice winter, all things considered. Yeah, a couple of nasty storms we've had to deal with that were mainly rain, but still, you know, have some negative effects out there. But a warmer than normal December, warmer than normal January, and so far, a warmer than normal February. And if you kind of get through the Valentine's Day portion, usually don't have too many real crazy cold snaps. I'm supposed to have one next week, but again, only into the 20s. So all in all, all things considered, we've been pretty lucky, knock on wood, for the most part. Hopefully get through March and then, you know, in the beautiful springtime. But for GMs and players, coaches, managers, in the world of MLB, they get to dodge all that as they will now head to Florida for the Grapefruit League and Arizona for the Cactus League. And yes, pitchers and catchers report next week. It's unbelievable to think it just feels like just a few days ago that one team was out there stealing, trying to win a World Series, and the Houston Astros, as the Washington Nationals took them down, and now I'm sure a lot of people are happy that that happened. But in particular now, two baseball teams that people in this area kind of follow with Indiana not having one, and that's the Southsiders, Chicago White Sox, and the Northsiders, the Chicago Cubs. It's interesting when you look at these two clubs how different directions they're going and how truly these two teams, minus 2008, minus 1906, minus 1908, where the Sox finished two games behind the Tigers as the Tigers went on to win their second straight pennant, lose to the Cubs, and would be their last World Series for 108 years. And then the two teams, while the Sox ended their drought in 83 of not going to the postseason, from 59, the Cubs ended theirs from 45, going in and winning the division 84. 93, the Sox won, the Cubs were nowhere to be found. You get the hint, Sox again, 2000, Cubs 03, Sox 05. 08, they both made it, and then both, for the most part, kind of went into the dumpster there a little bit. The Sox had a chance in 2012, but that was more the Tigers underachieving. And the Sox, outside of that year, if you think back 2008, they won by winning a division game on a coin flip that brought the Twins to their stadium. They would not have won in the Metrodome. The Sox never won in the Metrodome back then. And they only scored one run against the Twins anyways at home. That year, Ken Griffey Jr. making the throw, Tommy hitting a home run that may have just landed. John Danks, there's a name from the past, pitching a great ball game in that one. And the Cubs, as well, that year, they won a division 98 games, got swept by the Dodgers. Sox lost in four to the then Tampa Bay Rays with Joe Maddon as their manager before they went on to the World Series that year. Like I said, the Sox, 12, almost made it, had some expectations at 15. Had some more in 16, and they failed. Meanwhile, the Cubs decided to just rebuild the whole thing starting in 2012. It was just terrible baseball. Remember, the Sox and Cubs, the Sox, while the Cubs were trying to lose, they lost 96 games in 2013. The Sox lost, I think, 96 that year, but the Cubs swept them in four games. So the Sox had the higher draft pick. They ended up that year taking Carlos Rodon, while the Cubs ended up drafting Kyle Schwarber, and that was crazy to think how bad it had gotten there. Then the Cubs, though, came out of it. We know what happened in 15-16, then winning that World Series 17, making the playoffs, going to the LCS 18, losing wild card round. Well, the Sox, they decided after 16 to go full-on rebuild. Finally, Jerry Reinsdorf moved up Kenny Williams out of the GM spot. So whatever, just to basically sit, you know, on his shoulders, and so he can coddle, you know, his employees because he don't like firing them, even though it's time for their tenure. Rick Hahn was tasked with rebuilding a team that was really in some trouble. They had some nice pieces at the major league level, but they just really they could not put it all together. So he just decided, you know what, let's do what the cheaters, I mean the Astros were doing. Let's do what the Cubs were doing, and let's rebuild the thing, and they traded Chris Dale. That was really the move that jump-started this all. They traded him to the Boston Red Sox, got Johan Moncada back, got Michael Kopech back, coming off now arm surgery, should be good to go this year. Fleeced the Cubs by trading Jose Quintana, and we'll have more on this in a minute, to go for Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, and then some other moves. They, you know, signed Nick Madrigal, I believe, drafted Luis Robert, and Tim Anderson finally developed last year. It was a struggle. I mean, 17, they were really, really bad. And they were injured on top of it that year. And then last year, they didn't have Kopech all season. I mean, they thought that'd be the in 2018, they didn't have him. That year they were injured, and it just really was bad to watch. 19, it got a little bit better as they were able to get some more players in. Moncada looked like he started to develop. You had Tim Anderson won a batting title. Jimenez came up, brought some life out there. So the Sox did reasonably well. And this does look so much like what the Chicago Cubs did, where if fans remember, 2012 was the first year of it, so you're like, okay, that's what the Sox 17 was. 18 was ugly. Even though the Cubs lost five less games, that was just the year, you know, they were kind of in it for a while, and they ended up making a trade that paid off dearly, but they traded at the time Feldman, and it destroyed their regular season chances that year. But in the end, they got Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop out of it, and Strop just left now, so that trade now is officially, you know, complete with what happened there. But now, the 13 just seemed to be the worst year because you didn't see an end to it as a Cubs fan and stuff. Your 13 was probably the worst year to rebuild. That's probably how it was for the Sox in 2018. 19, though, they look to be better out there. The Cubs surprised some people in 14, especially down the stretch, and you started hearing about these guys. You started seeing them a little bit, and that's the biggest thing. When you start to get to see your players at the major league level, you don't have to hear about them anymore down in the minors. You can finally see it as a finished product, and that's nice to see. The Sox this year now went out. They spent some money getting Dallas Keuchel. Great move. Yasmani Grandel, awesome move. They already have a pretty decent bullpen. Assuming Eloy Jimenez, assuming Robert Madrigal, those guys are as good as advertising. I mean, Nomar Mazara, I think, is a nice pickup by them as well. The Sox look to be dangerous this year. And the biggest thing for them, and this kind of goes along with the Cubs, that in 15, the Cardinals were still really good. The Pirates were really good, if people can believe that. But the Reds and Brewers were eh. So I think that helped the Cubs, and the rest of the National League kind of stunk, and they took advantage of some of those bottom feeders. In the American League now, there's the New York Yankees, there's the Power, they have Gerrit Cole. They just signed a team that last year did so well. Now with the scandal going on down in the Lone Star State, you wonder what's going to be left of them. The Angels might make some stride this year with Joe Maddon, Mike Trout now is there, and they signed Anthony Rendon from the Nationals, but how good will they be? The Rangers, you don't really know about. The Rays should still be pretty good. The A's may still be in it. But in the Sox division and the Red Sox, they're in shambles now trading Mookie Betts. I think that they're done. That's one less team to have to worry about that you thought going into the season. So from a wild card perspective, I think you look at you would pencil in the Yankees, probably the Twins, and then whoever comes out of the West. I would still think Houston's a slight favorite out there, but we shall see what comes of this. And even if all this nonsense didn't happen that they caused, Gerrit Cole still left. And you wonder how good can Justin Verlander still be? We'll see. Zach Greinke, you know, he's up there in age as well. So they're basing this on some, let's just say, seasoned pitching, to say the least. Yays, again, are pretty good, and you have the Rays to worry about. But in their own division, you'll have the Twins. I mean, I think the Indians will take a step back. They no longer have Bauer. They won't have him for a full year. Kluber, but how much longer can he keep carrying him? You wonder how long Lindor is going to be there. If they get off to one of their traditionally bad starts, they might get traded. And the rest of the division, you would think on paper, with the Tigers and the Royals just stink. So the Sox, and you play those teams 19 times, I don't think it's a stretch to expect to win. If things go as you expect, and they don't always do that, but to win 30 of those 38 games. So to go 15-4, 14-5 against those two teams, I mean, that's 30 wins right there. If you could just, you know, maybe be a little bit over 500 against the Indians, I mean, now you're talking about, you got right off the bat, that's 40 wins for them coming up. I mean, can you, and I think you can find just by the nature of baseball, 40 more wins. I mean, you got to, this year, I think you got to expect, you don't know how the other teams will shape up, but you got to expect, if you're a White Sox fan, I'd say at least 85 wins. Maybe you can get some more down the stretch. Maybe you add a piece that things are going well at the trade deadline. You can always do this. Somebody sells off, it opens up for you. But the Sox, it's go time for them now. No more. They're in a rebuild. They need to win 85 games up there. And they're the one team right now in Chicago where the needle actually looks like it's pointing up for them. And it's kind of jealous here as a Cubs fan. Meanwhile, turning to that team from the north side, it's just an absolute joke what's going on there. A team that prints money next to the Yankees and Dodgers, and now I would say they're getting close to the Dodgers with this new television network. All of a sudden, they're crying poor, this ownership group. It's an absolute joke. They're a joke. And I told everybody, it's like, I got in an argument with someone in 2017 when they were saying, well, Bryce Harper will be on the Cubs in 19. I'm like, why? The Cubs aren't going to pay a luxury tax. And he's like, yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. This ownership will. I'm like, yeah, I bet. They got their World Series. They're not going to do that. And it's just funny how, you know, they twist things around. This people and stuff saying, you know, the Cubs have been, and Len Casper's saying this, you know, the ultimate homer. Well, the Cubs have been near the top of the payroll. No, they really haven't. Like, last year they were because it was time to pay some bills. But before that, Like in 2015, and I think even in 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series and their payroll went down from 15 to 16, the Cubs were had a lower payroll than the Baltimore Orioles. Think about that. Now, the Orioles now stink because they've gotten rid of everybody like the Machados of the world and stuff. But the Cubs, up until last year, were never in the top three in payroll. Last year, they were, like I said, because of the bills due and guys in arbitration making some money. Cole Hamels had the $20 million option picked up. Lester, I think, hit his peak in money. But they're a broken team, and they got rid of Joe Maddon, who I don't think that was the worst thing, because I think that he wasn't holding guys accountable, and that it might have just been time. The message was probably getting a little stale there. But overall, I mean, to me, if you were going to get rid of him, then you needed to get a Joe Girardi or someone like that ilk to bring in. No, they brought in their pet, and they can say what it is. It's their pet and David Ross. Enough of that nonsense. He's there basically so Theo can have his own puppet in the locker room. And I would say this, nine times out of ten they could say, well, David Ross might, you know, he's not going to be a yes man and stuff. I would say, though, it's going to be pretty much what Theo Epstein wants, and David Ross is going to articulate that through the franchise. Because, I mean, there was a little bit of a managerial search, but they didn't really. Again, it's funny how the Bulls, and rightfully so, got all the crap for, all right, we're going to get rid of a Hall of Fame coach and Phil Jackson for Tim Floyd. And people knew about this year before it happened. We're going to get rid of Tom Thibodeau, the most successful franchise coach of the last two decades for them, for this guy from Iowa State, Fred Hoiberg. Well, it comes pretty much all you hope. Well, after this, Joe Maddon will be gone. It'll be David Ross's job. All that happened, and they're not getting the same kind of pushback that the Bulls did. I guess you have that ring recently to help kind of push those people back, but I got to imagine people are getting sick of it at Wrigley Field. I mean, this crying poor, and look, I understand that Theo Epstein has done some bad things with some of the money out there. He did the same thing in Boston, but I would have to say this, I truly believe this, like, say, going into 2018 when they signed Yu Darvish and they signed Tyler Chatwood, that he had the assumption that he would have a pretty unlimited budget, especially going forward. Now, they knew coming in until they got some of those TV contracts straightened out and what they were going to have to put into the park, that they were going to be working with a lighter budget. And that's why I think they basically go ahead and rebuild, because we don't want to spend any money. And that was fine. It worked. You needed to get some things done, rebuild the minor league system. But you haven't been able to draft since basically 2015. You haven't drafted well because you don't have higher picks. Even though the baseball draft goes real deep, they've not found any key pieces. It's funny how the Dodgers can spend money. Cardinals, same as well, but still able to find some people in their farm system. Cubs have really had none of those difference makers, a big thing about it. And I don't think he goes and signs Yu Darvish. And I don't think he goes and signs Tyler Chatwood, maybe because there was a smaller contract, but definitely not Darvish. Because I think they came to him basically last year and went, okay, now we're going to put you on a budget. And then the same with this year. So the casualty of it is you're going to have to trade your franchise player, the guy going forward, former MVP, former Rookie of the Year, World Series hero. You're going to have to trade him all of a sudden now just because you need to clear some payroll when you have the highest average ticket price in baseball and you have this new network coming in. You own all that around you. Your franchise is worth over $3 billion, and you're all of a sudden on a budget. My ass. Like, come on, guys. That's ridiculous. That's a joke. And, you know, the owner, you should be ashamed of yourself out there. And this is the least excited I've ever been for a season to start up in 5 years, since going back to the 2015 year. There's nothing really to get excited about. This team has underachieved essentially since 16. 17, a little bit can be forgiven. World Series hangover. You lost to the better team in the playoffs than the Dodgers. But in 18, you know, even with the 95 wins, that team all year just felt like bad things were going to happen. They choked down the stretch. Everybody started making excuses that they had to play 39 games in 40 days. Come on. Like, again, it's baseball, folks. They're like, come on. And Maddon, always resting players, so you guys shouldn't have been that worn down. Couldn't win a game here or there that would have got you number one seed in the NL. Instead, nope, lost. Last game, second to last game of the year, regular season, lost at home to the Brewers. 2-1, then lost 1-0 at home to the Colorado Rockies. Wow. I mean, in extra innings to boot, 13 innings that game. couldn't get it done there. And then last year, just falling apart throughout the year, finishing with a measly 84 wins last season. They could have won, or should have won, had 97% chance to make the playoffs, and then got swept down the stretch in a four-game series by the Cardinals, then got swept by the garbage Pirates. I mean, come on. Like, it's just unbelievable. That team, the players haven't been held accountable like they should be, from not just the Joe Madden, but the fan base, and just the underachievers on this team. When you look up and down the roster of the guys who you're supposed to be counting on that haven't come through for you. And the time where I think all of this went haywire was they had a chance to get Justin Verlander. They balked at that, a little too old, they thought. Instead, they traded their cornerstone franchise piece in the minors and Eloy Jimenez because they thought Ian Happ would be better. Nice job there. And they traded away Dylan Cease, their one pitcher they looked like they were going to finally develop, for a bum. That's who he is. Jose Quintana's a bum. Last year he had stretches when it didn't matter during the season. Two horrible stretches, especially down the stretch in September. The guy is not a clutch pitcher. Look how poorly he pitched in Game 5 in an elimination game against the Dodgers in 2017. It's just, I mean, he has been a complete disaster for them. I mean, Yu Darvish looked like he finally found himself last year, but for a year and a half, he's been a joke. Tyler Chatwood's been a joke. John Lester just old. You can't really fault him too much. Again, you just wonder who's going to be their fifth starter now. Their bullpen, they've done a few things to actually fix that up a little bit. Will Kimbrel be there? Again, there's about 26 different questions on this team, and if all 26 don't have a positive answer, don't expect them to do much this year. I mean, I think I saw they were projected 83 wins. I'll be very surprised unless finally these guys come out of their shell after 3 years, but I think we kind of know what they are. A bunch of free swingers that'll, you know, score 15 runs one game and then the next week be able to score about 10 runs against mediocre pitching. It's a broken team. And the funny thing is, I definitely can see Theo after 2021, like he said, 10 years is enough in a place. He'll probably be leaving. And then Tom Ricketts, I guess, can just hoard all his money or, you know, and watch the Cubs just continue to sink into the abyss while the White Sox now have their chance to steal the city, especially with the Bears struggling, the Bulls, who knows if they're ever going to do anything, and the Hawks. Eventually Kane and Taze are going to get old, and you wonder if they'll ever be able to get back, at least in the near future, to where they were. Doubtful. So this is, and it's kind of funny, it seems to be this way in the city of Chicago. The other four teams stink, and one's able to emerge as a title contender. It was the Bulls in the 90s. It was the Sox for that one year where the other teams really didn't do a whole lot. Then they all went downhill. The Blackhawks got real good. They tapered off a little bit. The Cubs just stole the momentum, and now it seems like it might be the White Sox turn to have this long stretch going forward. So it shall be fun. Pitchers and catchers report. I guess as a baseball fan, it's just nice. Spring's around the corner. It's still fun to watch the game until they screw it up and put the DH in the National League. Who knows? I mean, they got some issues of their own, of course, with the service time thing and stuff. But Sox, I think, should be pretty good. I mean, they've, you know, failed a little of the expectations before, and then you wonder what will happen. But, you know, Ricky Renteria is definitely on the hot seat now, because if he doesn't get it done this year, at least, like I said, at least 85 wins, I would think, is going to be the bar. Then I definitely think he'll be looking for future employment somewhere else. And the Cubs, I mean, I got to think that Chris Bryant, I believe, will be traded within the next week or so. And unless they pull off that crazy thing that's the rumor of him going to Atlanta or wherever, and the Cubs trading Hayward and Contreras for Nolan Arenado, that's the only way the Cubs get better at that position. They also, by the way, weaken themselves at catcher in the process of doing that. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Hayward, you are going to weaken yourself defensively in the outfield, that's for sure. And don't forget about this. In their division, the Cardinals should still be pretty good. The Brewers might taper off. The Pirates should be a disaster. But the Cincinnati Reds, who've been beating up the Cubs, by the way, the last couple of years, look to be the team that takes the step forward. They've got pitching, and they've added some bats now. The ball should fly out of that park for Nicholas Castellanos. Bauer, he's pretty good out there to kind of anchor that rotation. I expect the Reds to be a wild card team. I really believe that. And maybe even be fighting for division. So good luck to the Cubs out there. And I was talking with someone, and it's sad we're going to be back at this model.
next year. Just wait till next year, and that's going to probably be the thing going forward. We'll take a break when we come back. We will wrap up the festive game that was last Sunday. You're listening to Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
SP19 American Kitchen and Bar is a unique culinary treat for the whole family. Each weekend, Chef Brian puts his reputation on the line with a menu above and beyond your ordinary weekend restaurant. The five-star entrees paired with your favorite beverage and the delectable desserts have people raving over the creativity of SP19's weekend specials. Plus, their delicious family menu gives you so much more to choose from. Follow them on Facebook for new weekend specials. SP19 American Kitchen and Bar, where champions are made.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning is still your local provider for propane, with service you can depend on not only for propane, but even your water softener, drinking supplies, and salt. Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning, with locations in Remington and Winnemac to serve you. For your next home heating, drying, and water softener supplies, call Suburban Propane and Pro Water Conditioning in Remington, 219-261-4286, or in Winnemac, 574-946-3053.
We are back on the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy DeMont, Indiana. Bernie going here on WPI97.7.com. And for the final time, we'll wrap up officially football at all three levels. Going all the way back to August, we had a high school season, the college season, you know, got through the state finals and through the two playoff games, LSU tearing it up, and then the NFL kicking off right after Labor Day weekend. Bears-Packers, unbelievably to think that that was the first game of the year. And then it closed up with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And before we get to that for a moment, I'd like to mention this. The NFL, the big rumor, is going to 17 games. That's just horrible, if you ask me. It's all about the money. And Tom Waddle, who I have a lot of respect for, was saying that, you know, all the players, they're just looking at what's going to get them the short-term money. And it's so funny, like you said, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, guys like that, the quarterbacks, some of the key defensive players, yeah, they'll get a lot of money. And they'll get more of the money with this new CBA. But the middle-of-the-road player, they're not going to get a bunch more. They're going to be promised this, and it's not going to happen. They're going to get maybe another week or two off in the summer, but and they're going to get their wish of one less preseason game. You know, hell, other guys don't even play. Look, the Bears played starters a little bit in the first preseason game, and that was basically it. Other teams kind of following suit with that, and if they do play, it's very, very little. So now the talk is taking out a preseason game, 17 weeks, a second bye week. So now it'll be, instead of a 17-week season, a 19-week season. One of the rumors is that you'll have eight games, home and away, and then one neutral game. So now you're going to add travel to everybody's schedule, whether it's in London, whether it's in Mexico, maybe I guess some Canadian games will be thrown in there. Yeah, but that's about player safety. Let's add a 17th game, put these guys to more. Yeah, that's all about player safety. Let's go ahead and get teams like the Baltimore Ravens, who clinched, will be clinching even earlier now. So they won't even be playing players for the last month of the season. Let's screw the fans over again as they go to different games and at MT Bank Stadium or whatever, and not see you know, the best players playing because, you know, everything's clinched and they're not going to play anyone. And then you look what happened. They were rusty when they came out there, because that seems to always happen with these teams. And then they're talking about adding a team to the playoffs. So think about this. The Philadelphia Eagles were 8-8 and made the playoffs. Or 9-7, I think, made the playoffs. You're now going to see 8-8 teams, more 7-9 teams make it as the seventh seed. You barely can find, and this year was one of those years where you couldn't really find six teams in the NFC to go to the playoffs. Now all of a sudden, you will add, like the Bears would have still been in the playoff race if you had a seventh team. or the Rams would have made it, who underachieved. So, yeah, that's what people want to see, is more mediocre football in the playoffs. And now the two seed will no longer have that bye that is so cherished. It'll just be the one seed. I mean, like, this is just ridiculous. Just the greed going on. But, you know, again, all about player safety. They're just going to water the product down more. It's the perfect amount of games. It's 16. It fits so well. The only thing I could think that would even remotely make this work would be add, like, your rivals play a third time, although I would trade off seeing that for, you know, just leaving it how it is. You know, it works. Again, it works, but let's ruin it. You know, Mark Cuban once said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. I don't know if it'll ruin the league, but, I mean, you start getting players hurt, start seeing superstars missing games because of this extra game. It'll probably end up hurting them. And, again, how are you going to find that third or that other opponent? It's going to mess records up. I mean, it's just, they shouldn't do this. It's going to probably happen, though, because the players are going to get, you know, these nine list of demands, and the trade-off's going to be that extra regular season game. And then what, are you going to play nine on the road 1 year, nine at home the next year? I mean, I don't know. I mean, how's a neutral site game? I guess it benefits everyone, but is it really worth it that much? I mean, it's just unbelievable, the stupidity in the NFL, and the fans will be the ones suffering through it. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't come to bear, but I bet we're pretty close to it, especially with them trying to get this new CBA deal done before the league year starts, which is around, like, March 17th, I believe. So now, with this game now, the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the 49ers, we're in the era of Patrick Mahomes, folks. That's the takeaway from this game. And I thought Troy Aikman said it so great. The beginning of the fourth quarter, they said he's not been playing very well. Well, I differ a little bit on that, because I felt like, yeah, okay, we'll throw the first drive out. It's the first game of the Super Bowl. Nerves are going and stuff. So didn't play up to his potential on that drive. Niners went down the field, moved the ball very well, running the football, key to this, running the football. Mahomes responded with some great plays, got leveled on one play, stayed in the game. They ended up getting a touchdown on. I thought that not too many quarterbacks would have been able to lead them on that drive. And then they got the interception, a bad pass by Garoppolo. But here's to me where the momentum started to turn, because the Niners held them to a field goal. It was 10-3. Then they were able to go down and score. So it was 10-10 at halftime. Then to open up the second half, they get a field goal to the Niners. And then Mahomes throws, I'll have to be honest, the worst pass I've seen in his career. And like about five guys were around the area there. He gets picked. The Niners turned it into a touchdown. They have the 20-10 lead. And then Mahomes throws a bad physical pass there to Tyreek Hill that gets intercepted. And at that point, I mean, and I thought the Chiefs would win. I'm thinking, wow, the Niners, the way they're running this football, I got to think, man, the Chiefs are in some trouble. And they had a nice pass to Kittle there, did Jimmy Garoppolo on a play action, ate some time off, and then they got the Chiefs into a 3rd-and-15. Mahomes had just had a really bad pass again. But then the momentum changed on that one play. And it wasn't even a great throw he had to Tyreek Hill, but Hill was that wide open. They ran the right play. They got down, they scored a touchdown, and then the Chiefs' defense Wolf back up. They got that three and out. And then, yes, the 2nd-and-5, I think there is something to be said about Kyle Shanahan not throwing or throwing the football there. And I don't care if the play was open. You should have still been running it. And they went three and out. Then the Chiefs just showed you why Mahomes is doing a great throw to Watkins. They got the touchdown. And then, I mean, the funny thing, Garoppolo on the second down had a chance to throw a touchdown there to Emmanuel Sanders. He overthrew him, looked just like Trubisky, and then that was it. They batted down the next pass to Chris Jones, and then they got the sack. And then Damian Williams, who should have won MVP, sealed it up with that touchdown run. They picked off Garoppolo, and it was just crazy how quickly that flipped from 20-10 to 31-20. Kyle Shanahan, I don't think he deserves all the blame for that collapse in the fourth quarter. I mean, again, if Garoppolo hits that pass, how different is it? But something should be can be said for the last two times this team has not scored in the fourth quarter in those games, but where he should really take flack, and I said it during the game, that you cannot play conservative there and at the end of the second quarter where they just decided basically just sit on the balls. Like, you cannot do that. You have to try to score against this team. Trust your defense that outside of that one drive had done pretty well at that point against the Chiefs, and you knew your defense was going to have to make some plays if you were going to win that game. You trust them there, sitting on your hands there. I mean, it looked like it was going to work, but imagine they went down to get a field goal or a touchdown, and the Chiefs are down 23-10, or even worse, 27-10 at that point in the fourth quarter. How different is that game then than when it's 20-10? But now, once again, this is tied for the third biggest comeback ever, and it's the second biggest fourth quarter blown lead. Kyle Shanahan's been a part of both of them, with the Falcons being the other one. And I have to say this, and it's going to sound crazy. There's something to be said for this blown game is worse than that Falcons game, and I would say here's why. It was 28-12, and it looked like that game was pretty much over. But then he had, in that 3rd-and-1 Matt Ryan lineup, and then he got stripped for the fumble, and it put the Patriots in, like, around the 20 to football. So they scored. You basically handed them a touchdown there. And then after Julio Jones made a great catch, you had the second down, and he took a terrible sack to Matt Ryan. That put him out of field goal range. And then he overthrew the player. Then you knew at that point the Patriots were going to win. They marched down. They scored. They got the ball in overtime, scored. And the Patriots doing that. The Falcons weren't necessarily the winner, but I know, I just felt like this game, the Patriots were making a comeback in that one, and they were gifted something, I think. In this game, the 49ers had taken all the momentum, had that 10-point lead. And again, if they stop them, they're on 3rd-and-long, which their defense should. And, okay, maybe we'll say the Chiefs go for it on 4th down, and they don't pick it up. Odds are they still wouldn't, even though they're the one team in the league that does pick up those 3rd-and-longs. Statistically, it usually doesn't work out for the teams out there. The 49ers would have gotten the ball back about 8 minutes to go. A couple of first downs with that running game, that would have been it. I mean, so I think something could be said for basically at that play. At that point in the game, the Chiefs needed to make that play. They did, and it turned the game completely around. I've never seen a game really, especially that deep in the postseason, kind of flip on one play, other than maybe, as I mentioned, that Falcons-Patriots game of 28-12. But again, at that point, it felt like the Patriots were starting to kind of chip into it. But interesting enough, the Niners, you got to wonder, will they be back? Super Bowl losers, not usually. Now, the Patriots did win it, but remember, they were in a string of going to 3 straight Super Bowls in that process. Only 2 other teams, and before that, it had been over 50 years. The Dallas Cowboys, who had a new quarterback in Roger Starr, or not a new one, but they put him in there as their start over Craig Morton, lost to the Baltimore Colts on a field goal in a sloppy game at Super Bowl V, won Super Bowl VI. Mike Ditka on that team caught a touchdown for the Cowboys. They beat the Miami Dolphins that year, 24-3. The following year, the Dolphins were undefeated, 17-0. Those were the only 2 teams that lost the Super Bowl, came back to win the next one, the next year to win it, and the Dolphins went on to win Super Bowl VIII, and the Cowboys were pretty good after that. I'm not saying the Niners can't be good, but I mean, we've seen a lot of great teams that have lost the Super Bowl and then not come back to ever play in one. Look at the 84 Dolphins really come to mind. Made it to the AFC Championship, lost a year to the New England Patriots, who went on to lose to the Bears in Super Bowl 20. List kind of goes on and on. I mean, the Titans, I thought, at 13-3, who lost to the Rams by a yard, were really good. They never went back. The Raiders, while they were older, you know, lost Super Bowl 37. They never went back. I mean, this list is full of them. How about, here's a good one, Super Bowl 39, the Eagles losing. They didn't go back after that. They had a really good team. I know T.O. tore that team up. It didn't happen there. How about, I mean, now Brady got hurt, but still they were 11-5 the next year. The undefeated Patriots didn't go back. I mean, that's one right there. I mean, when you just think about it, the Steelers haven't been back since they lost Super Bowl 45. I mean, folks, it's just, and a lot of times they don't even meet the playoffs next year. I don't know if I'd go that far because it seems some teams lately have been kind of bucking that trend. Falcons did, Eagles did, Patriots, or not maybe Patriots, Rams weren't able to do that this year. But we're still pretty much in it. But, I mean, another one, look at the Panthers, Super Bowl 50, didn't go back. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's so hard, the emotion of losing that game, and teams just don't seem to be able to recover from that. But I'd say the biggest story is, well, Damian Williams should have won Super Bowl MVP. I mean, it went to Patrick Mahomes. He did obviously turn it up down the stretch. I mean, John Fox, former Bears coach, and Trey Ringo were saying this, and there's something to be said about it. Maybe he should have been a co-MVP, which we'll never see again. It happened Super Bowl XII, Harvey Martin, Randy White for the Dallas Cowboys. You're never going to see, you'll never see it again, but Mahomes, they'll be playing that poorly, and to turn it around, especially in the Super Bowl, and bring your team together, something could be said for that. Not the worst decision, but I think it's just they shorted Damon Williams, especially that last touchdown he scored. He scored the game winner, too, as well, from a pass from Mahomes. I think that he deserved it, but Mahomes got it, so now he's got a Super Bowl MVP. He's got a regular season MVP. He's only 24 years old. He's got a Super Bowl championship, first one for the Chiefs in 50 years. I mean, it is remarkable. We're living in the Patrick Mahomes era. No reason to think that they won't be back. He's going to get paid. That's coming. It's just a matter of, and I think both sides want to wait till this new CBA comes out to see, A, how much money you can allocate to him from your salary cap, and B, because he's going to probably want more of that as well, and to say, well, you know what, now I got to play 17 games, going to pay me like it's that. So it's a matter of time. He's not going anywhere. He wants to be there. The Chiefs obviously want him to be there. And even if all that salary takes up the fact they may never win another one, what he brought to them in that time, I think all Chiefs fans would gladly trade that. Obviously, they want a couple more, no doubt about it. They should get a couple more. But again, that wonderful stat that when these quarterbacks get paid, their teams don't win Super Bowls, because remember Tom Brady all those years underpaid, and when Peyton Manning won his last one, wasn't getting paid like he used to get paid. So something to be said about that, and Joe Flacco kind of proves that, although again, Patrick Mahomes better than Joe Flacco. And I would say this, of all those quarterbacks, and we'll just go through the list, starting with the Flaccos of the Flacco back at Super Bowl 47 when he won it. Then it was Russell Wilson, who's still pretty good, but remember, he got a lot of help on the way to winning that. Brady, of course, we talk about, never got paid to invest in. Manning's now retired and wasn't getting paid the type of money there and was old and got kind of carried to that one. Brady, again, Foles, a good quarterback, but, I mean, certainly had some help and now got a lot of money at the Jaguars and then back to Brady. I would say now, certainly Foles, Brady for his age, Manning for his age, and definitely Flacco. Wilson, I would even say as well, you know, he's in his prime. Patrick Mahomes is better than all those guys. So we're now going to see a guy who is the best quarterback in the league, should be able to win one, even with him taking up that much money. And who knows, maybe Patrick Mahomes will take just a little bit less money to try to keep some of the players there to keep this thing going. Because, I mean, it's not like he won't be short for endorsements there. But congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs winning Super Bowl 54, 31-20. Congratulations, Patrick Mahomes. And guys, you guys have a superstar there and appreciate it. You guys know it's been a long time. Basically, yes, you had some Elvis Gerbeck for a while. Trent Green wasn't bad. Alex Smith was decent. Joe Montana towards the end of his career. You really haven't had a franchise quarterback in their prime since Len Dawson. So enjoy that, Chiefs fans. And of course, my final parting shot, just remember, Bears fans, you could have had the guy, and you should have had the guy. Well, with that, when we come back, we'll wrap things up here. You're listening to the Sports Showcase on WOKI97.7.com.
How is Alliance Bank different from the rest?
We're secure. We provide solutions to our clients.
We have integrity. We stand by our word.
We're responsive.
We invest in our communities.
We're reliable. We believe in our team.
The difference is we are your community bank. At Alliance Bank, we're in this together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, online at myalliancebank.com.
DeMott, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Morocco, you have a title company.
State Street Title.
Lowell, you have a new title company.
State Street Title.
State Street Title knows your most valuable asset is your home. They know the stress, questions, and concerns when purchasing and financing. With dedicated professionalism, they will guide and assure that you are protected against claims or risks. State Street Title is here to serve you with three convenient locations in Morocco, DeMott, and now Lowell.
Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick, locally owned and operated in Kentland, serving Benton, Newton, and surrounding counties. Service and warranty work is done on all makes of GM vehicles. They have a large selection of new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Since 2003, they have sold over 4,000 vehicles. Let Emerson Sondergrath Chevrolet Buick on US 24 in Kentland help you with your next vehicle purchase today.
Music.
we're back on the Sports Showcase from the SP19 restaurant at the Sandy Pines Golf Course in snowy DeMont, Indiana. Bernie Gone here on WOKI977.com. I'd like to thank Coach Bill Shepard from the Kinky Valley Boys Cougar Squad and Chad Pulver from the Rensselaer Central Boys Basketball Squad. And thank you for his season two coach, Wes Radke, for coming out here during the girls' season as they took a tough loss Tuesday to the South Central Satellites in their season coming to an end. Well, no games tonight for everyone. We will see, depending on what happens in the sectional draw, of what may happen here on WLQI next week. On our sister station, we know that we will have the Frontier Falcons at Joe Bergen Gymnasium next week on 104.5 FM Bear Country, taking on the Rensselaer Central Bombers. Any regular season basketball from here on out will be boys basketball, as the girls' season now going through the sectionals and closing up tonight with the 64 sectional champions being crowned out there. So it'll be boys from here on out, as we have two regular season games left on WLQI, the South Newton Rebels and the North Newton Spartans, and then the following week to close it out, the Covenant Christian Knights versus the West Central Trojans, as they'll play each other. And then again, we'll have the crossover matchup the following Friday on Bear Country between Rensselaer Central and that opponent to be determined. Then it'll be time for the boys' section. I'd like to thank everyone here at SP19 Restaurant for hospitality. Again, thank you to Coach Jeff Palmer, Bill Shepard. Thank you to my wonderful board op, Scotty Miller, spinning those dials out there. Always much appreciated. And thank you to the listeners and to the sponsors. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this well. I'm Bernie Golan, once again, signing off here. Until the next time we cross paths, take care, everyone.
The Sports Showcase here at SP19 American Kitchen in DeMott is brought to you by Alliance Bank, CR Repair, Emerson Sondergrath, Fozzy Califf TV and Appliances, Reinforcement Design, RMT Transport, State Street Title, Suburban Propane, and of course, SP19 American Kitchen.